Welcome back. It's a bi-week edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Nate Vaughn. We are coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park, which we hope to shut down later in the week because the Vikings are on a bye. But before we do, we have some stuff to get to with you, our listeners. The Vikings, of course, enter their Week 6 bye with a perfect 5-0 record. But the bye does come at a good time. It's been a long grind for your Minnesota Vikings since the beginning of training camp at the end of July, continuing through the four preseason games, which included some tough practices against the Cincinnati Bengals, and then, of course, the first five regular season games. Through it all, injuries are mounting for the Purple. The bye week comes at a good time. Hopefully, a few of those guys on the injury report can heal up and be ready to go when the Vikings come out of the bye in Week 7. Through five games, folks, your Vikings have the number one scoring defense in the NFL, allowing just 12.6 points per game. They are also tied for the most sacks in the NFL. They have 19, as do the Denver Broncos. The offense has not turned the ball over yet. The Vikings are plus 11 in turnover margin. Coming out of the bye, all of those trends will be at risk as the Vikings go on back-to-back road trips at Philadelphia and then at Chicago on a Monday Night Football game that will be played on Halloween. But all of that is ahead. So let's take a minute before we get into the bye to look back on what happened last weekend as the Vikings hosted the Houston Texans on Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. The number one talker for me coming out of that game, at least offensively speaking, was Sam Bradford, as he continues to stack impressive performances one on top of the other. His latest, 22 of 30 for 271 yards and two touchdowns, zero interceptions, and a passer rating of 123.1. He did take two sacks, but once again had no turnovers. He has no turnovers this season. For the season, your quarterback, Sam Bradford, is completing 70.4% of his passes, second in the NFL. He has 990 passing yards, six touchdowns, zero interceptions, and a season-long passer rating of 109.8, which is second in the NFL. Nate, your quarterback, he's playing well, and he's been fun to watch.
He is, and it's starting to seem like, you know, at first when he started against Green Bay and even the next week or two after that, it was still kind of in scramble mode mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Even around here, it still kind of felt like it a little bit. But now, you know, he's starting to seem a little more calm, a little more comfortable. You see the offense doing a few more things, using a few different people in different places, different formations, things like that. So feels like the playbook is, you know, so many pages were closed in the playbook, but now you're starting to open those pages back up.
Yeah.
With Sam Bradford at the helm. So it's been fun to see, and I think we have a lot more fun things to look forward to.
Yeah,
Sam.
I think you're right about that. You bring up a good point. You know, Sam's ability to learn this offense and operate it the way he has in a short amount of time. It was the New York Giants Monday Night Football game, which would have been the Week 4 game, but it would have been his third game. That game marked the one-month anniversary of his acquisition. And on that night, he led the Vikings to a victory, completed 26 passes to 9 different receivers. And that, to me, illustrated his knowledge and almost mastery of this offense. And it was just a month into his tenure with the Vikings. 9 different receivers he found that night, kind of showing that he's not relying on just one guy.
And a lot of the credit goes to not just him, but Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Scott Turner, quarterback's coach, and the receivers, too, on getting with him, talking about what they're looking for, things like that. So definitely lots of credit to Sam. He's the one running the show.
Yep.
But plenty of credit to go around for the 5-0 start.
Yeah, and speaking of that, spreading the ball around, through five games, the Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, and Adam Thielen, 3 different receivers, all have 20 or more receptions and a touchdown. So again, off the theme of not relying on one guy, Sam Bradford is spreading the ball around in this offense, and it looks really good. Dating back to the end of last season, Sam Bradford, in his last 8 games, is averaging 256 passing yards a game. He's got an 11-3 touchdown to interception ratio, and he is 6-2 in those 8 games. So Sam Bradford right now playing very, very well. Another big talker from the Houston game is the Vikings defense. It did another number on top tier talent. This time it was DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, who felt the brunt of a Mike Zimmer defense. Brock Osweiler also feeling that brunt. He's their quarterback. Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the NFL, finished the game with 5 catches for 56 yards and 1 touchdown. Those numbers are a little deceiving, though, because he was shut out in the first half as the Vikings got out to a huge lead, and then a lot of those catches and yards came in garbage time. Will Fuller, a guy that Nate really liked in the build-up to the draft and a guy who's had a really good rookie season so far, just 1 reception on 6 targets, so he's very glad to get past Mike Zimmer on the schedule. Osweiler was 19 of 42 in the game. That's just 45%. He took 4 sacks. He was hit 13 times. He threw a pick, and he had a passer rating of only 56.1. The Vikings defense holding its opponents to a season-long passer rating of 65.3. First in the NFL. Just think about that. Think if your quarterback on the season, his season-long passer rating was 65.
You would not be satisfied with that.
You'd be depressed.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awful. Well, that's what's happening to Vikings opponents. And the defensive line, this stat provided by the Vikings PR group, they're very good at what they do. They come up with cool stats, and I steal them. And I stole this one, and I put it on Twitter, but I'm going to tell you guys right now in case you didn't see it on Twitter. The Vikings defensive line has combined for 17 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, and it has 1 interception. All of those numbers are first in the NFL or tied for first in the NFL. So it all starts up front for this Vikings defense, but the second level, the linebackers, and the third level, the defensive backs, they're also playing really well. Here's a cool thing that I thought of, Nate. Pro Bowl voting is here.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I mean,
well, when does it close? It closes the beginning of December.
Something
usually.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so really only have like a month and a half to vote.
Right. It's time to start voting for the Pro Bowl. And I know a lot of Vikings fans just go and vote for all the Vikings because they're good fans, and that's what a good fan would do. And Marcus Sherrill's got votes in years past. He legitimately deserves it this year. You need to vote for Marcus Sherrill's to go to the Pro Bowl. He had another punt return touchdown against the Houston Texans. This one, a 79-yarder.
There's punt incredibly high. Marcus heels on the 20, hits to the left. Sherrill's corralled at the 25, or is he? No. He gets loose to the 40, and Marcus Sherrill's is gone! Touchdown, Vikings! It's a 79-yard punt return touchdown for Marcus Sherrill's, and the Minnesota Vikings are blowing out the Houston Texans.
He's the first Viking to ever have 2 punt return touchdowns in a season. He is the Vikings career record holder in punt return touchdowns with 5. He's 3rd in the NFL with a 16.5-yard punt return average. Marcus Sherrill's, folks, is changing games as a returner. He's also a good cover guy. So Marcus Sherrill's, I believe, deserves to go to the Pro Bowl. He had a great game against the Houston Texans. And lastly, on the Houston Texans recap, Cordarrelle Patterson keeps finding ways to make a difference. We've talked about him as a game-changing kickoff returner. We've talked about him as a gunner on the punt team. Now Cordarrelle has a touchdown catch this season. He caught one against the Texans from 9 yards out.
Bradford takes a low snap, back to pass, loops it to the end zone, right side. Caught! Touchdown, Vikings! Excellent, excellent catch by Cordarrelle Patterson! And for Cordarrelle Patterson, that is his first receiving touchdown since at Buffalo in 2014. It is Minnesota 30, Houston 6.
It was his first touchdown catch since October of 2014 at Buffalo. So in the Houston game, the Texans were afraid to kick to him. They had their best cover guy, Brian Peters, kick off. They didn't even kick it all the way to him because they were scared of him. Cordarrelle had a tackle on punt return, on punt coverage, and then he had the touchdown catch. An awesome game by Cordarrelle Patterson. He's been a fun player to watch this season. Now we're on to something that producer Nate Vaughn's quite familiar with, and I am not, the honor roll. You were on the honor roll, I bet.
Maybe.
I don't know. No? I definitely was
like
not.
Seems like so long ago.
I took pride in high school. I graduated with honors in high school, and that means you had a 3.0 grade point average or higher, okay? I took pride in the fact that of everyone who graduated with honors, I had the lowest GPA.
Oh.
So I was
the worst of the best.
The worst of the best, or the best of
the worst.
That's
a good spot to be.
I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I mean, if you're going to be down there in the low threes, don't be 3.1 or 3.2. Just be 3.0 and be the lowest one. I thought it was a cool distinction. They didn't say that as I was walking up the stage, although I kind of wish they would have.
That's a joke. Studying is important. Schoolwork is important.
Right. You should get as high a GPA as you can. It's very important. The 2016 Vikings Honor Roll. Three players of the week for your Vikings so far this season. It started in week one when Eric Kendricks did this.
Mariota shotgun, feeling a rhythm. Play action. He's going to dump it left. Intercepted Eric Kendricks. And there he goes to the 50, 40. That is loose. Eric Kendricks, touchdown. A 76-yard pick six for Eric Kendricks, and the Minnesota Vikings have taken the lead.
A 77-yard interception return touchdown for Eric Kendricks against the Tennessee Titans, which helped lead the Vikings to victory. He also had seven tackles and a tackle for loss in that game. Week two, Stephon Diggs against the Green Bay Packers. What did he do to the Packers? Listen to what PA says.
First and 10 from the Green Bay 25. Vikes lead 10-7. Bradford out of the shotgun. Fakes a handoff. Steps up. Loops it to the end zone for Diggs. Caught! Touchdown! Stephon Diggs is killing the Green Bay Packers in border battle 112. 25-yard connection. Minnesota 16. Green Bay 7.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs did the Packers dirty. 9 catches, 182 yards, and a touchdown in a 17-14 Sunday night football win over the border rivals. Week 3, Everson Griffin, the defensive player of the week because he had 3 sacks on Cam Newton. The Vikings that day sacked Cam Newton 8 times. It was his worst game of the season. Okay, we're going to go to the next segment. It's called By the Numbers, and we're going to put producer Nate on the spot. All right, Nate.
Normally, as the producer, I get to put together these numbers. So you're putting me in an uncomfortable position.
Right. I took the bull by the horns. I transitioned to the next segment, and I'm putting you on the spot. I have 3 numbers through 5 games that your Vikings have totaled. I'm going to say what the number is, and I want you to guess what I'm referring to. It has something to do with something that has happened this season for the Vikings, okay?
Okay.
First
Very
number,
specific.
23.
23.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh. 23 receiving yards for Odell Beckham Jr.
A career low.
Ah.
Good job, Vikings defense.
Good job.
Speaking of Vikings.
Not good job me so far.
No, you're 0 for 1. Speaking of Vikings defense, 47.6.
47.6. That sounds like an average. Is that right? No?
Nope. This is the product of a formula. Such a complicated formula, in fact, that ESPN, in a very ESPN way, came up with its own formula that they believe is a better system and a better measurement. Theirs is QBR. They have the QBR. This is a passer rating, 47.6. Cam Newton's passer rating against us in week 3. Lastly, 152 consecutive passes without
an interception thrown by Sam Bradford.
Yes. And you want to know what's even better about that? That's not even the best streak of his career.
Really?
Nope. The best streak of his career is 169. Okay. So he's 17 away from tying.
That's like a game's worth, probably.
Oh, and guess who he plays in his next game?
Who does he play?
Philadelphia.
Perfect.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
How did I do?
You did about as well as I do in over-under.
Okay.
Which is not great.
We'll just leave it at that.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Here's something that's kind of cool. Vikings leaders. I thought, you know, we're at the bye week, so let's take a look at who's leading the Vikings in a lot of categories.
Okay.
Tackles, Harrison Smith with 40. It's funny. Normally you say, gosh, if your safety is leading you in tackles, that ain't a good sign. Well, here we are. Safety is leading the Vikings in tackles. They're the best defense in the NFL. So it can be a good sign.
Well, and with all the things that Harrison Smith can do and that they ask him to do, you know, it's less surprising, say, for this team than some other defenses.
Good point.
Thank you.
Tackles for loss. This is my favorite one, by the way. Brian Robinson. He has 6. I love that.
That is cool.
Because he's a 10-year guy who's been through three different head coaches. He's basically reinventing himself now year to year to stay in the league, and he's done it for 3 years with Mike Zimmer, and I love that. And this year it's by getting tackles for loss, so that's awesome. Sacks, 3 with 4. Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, and Brian Robinson. Pass breakups, here's a surprise, Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
He's got 7 of them.
He's all over the place.
There we go. INTs, also known as interceptions.
Right.
Trey Waynes.
There you go.
How about that? A year ago at this time, we were dealing with, oh, should have taken Peters instead of Waynes. What's up with Waynes? Well, now Waynes has 2 picks, so how do you like that?
I like it.
Yeah. Passing, obviously, Bradford. Rushing, McKinnon, no surprise. Receiving, Diggs in both receptions and yards. Special teams tackles. This is also a cool one. Emmanuel Lemur, free agent signing.
All right.
So not playing on defense yet or right now, but is making a difference on special teams. He has 6 special teams tackles on the season. Last year's leader was Trey Waynes. This year through 5 games, it's Emmanuel Lemur.
Okay, Wobby, we'll move on to fan mail.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is from Norman. He says, with injuries mounting up across the league, do you have any thoughts about each team getting 2 bye weeks during the season? He also admits that it would make the season last another week.
Yeah, and I think that's the main problem with it. The league right now is trying to start the weekend after Labor Day, and then it's hosting the Super Bowl in like early or mid-February, and then the Combine, as everyone knows, is late February. So you're kind of tight in there right now, and they like to have a week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl. So I think the problem with that is you're playing 16 games over 17 weeks. And if you added another bye, it would be 16 games over 18 weeks, and I think it would mess with your schedule. You do not want to start before Labor Day because people are going to the cabin for the weekend. They're last weekend before school starts. They're not watching TV on Labor Day weekend. So you do not want your season opening weekend to be Labor Day weekend or before Labor Day weekend. So I think another bye would be awesome for teams and for injured players, but I think it'd be hard to squeeze in there with the current format.
Question number 2 is about new acquisition Jake Long.
Yeah.
Welcome, Jake, to the Minnesota Vikings.
Hello, Jake.
Stefan.
Thanks for listening to the Wobcast, Jake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glad to have you here. Right. Stefan asks, where do you think Jake Long will line up on the offensive line? Do you think he's a starter right away? What's his natural position? Do you think Jake is a guy you can just plug into the lineup and set him free?
Interesting to see. I guess it helps that he's got the bye week. I would think that helps. They'll probably do some studying with him, maybe. Feels like, naturally, he's a left tackle, but I'm a little uncomfortable answering that. I think that's a better question for him to answer, and I don't know where the team will plug him in. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they try and work him in progressively, not slowly, but progressively. You know, right now with Jake, it looks to me like they have TJ Clemmings, Jake Long, and Jeremiah Searles, all 3 of them guys that you can put in the game and be okay with. So that's good news. You added some depth at offensive tackle. I think that remains to be seen. I don't expect Coach Zimmer to come out and directly say what the plan is. It does no benefit to do so. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see on that one.
Final question is another Laquan Treadwell question. Mm-hmm. Chris says he just wants to know when they'll put Treadwell in and see what he's all about and what he can bring to the field.
Yeah, I get this every single week after every game, and that's why we keep putting it into the mailbag or the pick six or the Wobcast. We get it into one of those platforms because we got to keep addressing it because it keeps getting asked because it's a weekly talker. But here's the deal. And we like Laquan. We here at the Wobcast endorse Laquan Treadwell. We like him. We think he will be good. It was a good pick. But guess what? The Vikings are a good team, and rookies don't just come in and always stand out and play on good teams. It's going to take you a while. So, and I'm not worried about it, and I don't think it's an indictment on Laquan. The Vikings right now have receivers who are playing well. Cordarrelle Patterson has started to live up to the hype that was given to him in the offseason by Zimmer and Spielman. Diggs is playing great. Thielen has stepped up again this year. He's playing great. And so it's just going to take Laquan a little bit of time to break in there. We're not running out there with 4 and 5 wide receiver sets all the time. If we were, Laquan would be out there a little more, but we're not. We're balanced, and we're winning ball games. And at the end of games, we're not having to pass to catch up. We're having to run the clock out. So I think it's going to come for Laquan. As Rick Spielman said earlier in the week, we know that when these rookies' numbers are called, they're going to step up. So that tells me that they're not disappointed in Laquan. They just don't feel compelled to put him out on the field quite yet, and that's okay.
Wabi, it's bye weekend.
Yes.
You probably have some lawn work to catch up on, some jobs to do around the house probably.
Yeah, I do.
But just in case you don't and you find yourself wanting to watch some football on Sunday.
You get to. Mm-hmm.
What games are you going to watch?
The number one game I'm looking forward to is Dallas at Green Bay.
It's a good matchup.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Two traditional NFC powers. The game is at Lambeau Field. I believe it's Fox's number one game of the week, which means their number one crew will be there, which is fine. I think Troy Aikman does a great job, and I'm looking forward to him calling that game. I presume he will be at that game, so that'll be cool. It's at 3:25, so that's kind of cool. We're getting late here we're early fall, but we're getting late in the season, the weather season, so it'll kind of be night there. So like the atmosphere is going to be super cool. It's between a 4-1 team in Dallas and a 3-1 team in Green Bay, and it's Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys' number one rushing attack against the number one rushing defense in the NFL, your Green Bay Packers. So that's a cool matchup. Really looking forward to that game. The Vikings, of course, have a game on the schedule against both of those teams, so that game bears monitoring.
How about Philadelphia at Washington?
Another game where the Vikings play both of the teams in the game later on in the season. In fact, the Vikings have the Eagles coming out of the bye. So get your pens and notepads ready and take some notes, Vikings fans. Watch the Eagles game and take some notes. Tell us what you like and don't like about the Eagles after you watch this game. And then later on in the month, the Vikings will play the Washington Redskins as well. They'll play both of these teams on the road. This game is at Washington. It's a division game, and it's two teams that we play later in the season. So definitely worth watching.
Finally, the third game of that sort,
yep,
where we play both teams later in the season, Jacksonville at Chicago.
Yes, and some people may think it's a snoozer because it's between two teams that don't have good records. But as you said, Nate, we play both of those teams. So while you have your notebook out to take notes on the Eagles, keep it out.
Keep those pencils sharp.
Yep, and take some notes on the Jags and the Bears because the Vikings have three games against these two teams. They play the Bears twice and the Jaguars once. I believe the Jaguars game is the first weekend of December, which will be nice. It's early in December, so that'll be nice. We get out of here, the cold weather, and go down to Jacksonville and play those Jaguars. Hopefully we'll pick up a win, and then, of course, we have two games against the Bears.
All right, I think that's it.
We have zero more things to talk about.
And we have no games to talk about.
Right, no game coming up. We get
Happy
the weekend off.
Weekend.
Yes, cheer against the Packers. And the Bears and the Lions. Cheer
Let's
against.
Do it.
Here's your viewing guide to the NFL this week.
You're talking to Vikings fans as though they don't already do that every week.
I know. They do that every week. But here's the deal. Cheer against the NFC North. And then if a game does not involve the NFC North, cheer against the NFC team. So it's an NFC-AFC game. Cheer for the AFC team. And if it's between two NFC teams, just pick the team that you would least want to see in the playoffs and cheer for the other team.
And if none of that qualifies, cheer for the guys on your fantasy teams.
Oh, yeah. That's probably actually what people do first.
That might be at the top of the
list. Yeah, that's what people do first. And thanks for cheering for us, or at least listening to us. We truly do appreciate it. This Wobcast is over. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We're going to be back next week with another Wobcast as we preview the Vikings and Philadelphia Eagles game a week from Sunday. Talk to you later, everyone. So, yeah!